Welcome to BFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and with me today is John Ramos and Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
Oh, we're so excited. We're so excited. So much to share with you. Breaking news is going to take place on today's program. We'll give a shout out this morning to Gabrielle, a new listener on BFN Radio. Hello, Gabrielle. Give a shout out to Pam. Pam, we're praying for you. God is faithful. Be strong and courageous, for the Lord thy God is with you. You're listening to BFN Radio. We will be with you in one moment. Greg Lancaster, Pat Hamilton, and John Ramos today on BFN Radio. We'll give a happy anniversary out there to Tracy. Did you know? Tracy and Pat's anniversary today. Happy anniversary. I want you to know this morning that the Lord loves you. The Lord has a plan for your life. And when you trust Him, when you let go and you let God, it just happens. It just happens, despite what men may say.
Amen.
Be strong. Be courageous. For the Lord thy God is with you. Shout out to our Facebook listeners this morning. Hola. Konnichiwa. Hey, y'all. Our southern listeners there. What's up? That's a suburban, right? Glory, 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 glory. Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studios today is John Ramos. Hello, John.
Hey, 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 how are you? Good to be here this morning.
Doing wonderfully well, man. So glad to have you on the program today, man, as we always have fun. And also joining us is Mr. Anniversary Man.
Oh, my goodness.
Good morning.
He just arrived off his diving cruise, you know, in the Bahamas as his plane flew him in.
Right, right. In my dreams last night.
Celebrating his anniversary. And, you know how it is to be Pat. You know, he's so blessed, you know. You know what I'm saying?
Too blessed. If that's possible.
You know, the Lord says if you can see it in your mind, if you can believe it and you confess it, you've been diving.
Yeah. I'm thinking about it right now.
Are you?
Yeah.
You know, it makes me think about when Bill took us out diving. You remember that?
Yeah.
Remember? He was so kind.
Yeah.
He took us right there to the USS Massachusetts mm-hmm. in the Gulf of Mexico. And we went down there. I'm not going to say what you were doing down there. It's on the record.
What do you mean? I was diving.
You were chipping something off the side of the ship.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I was collecting shells.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's right. I don't know if it can go anywhere now. I don't have a steering wheel anymore. Anyway, so we're down there diving. And this is brilliant. This is so brilliant. Listen to this. John, there was fishermen. Yeah. We're down 25 feet. The Gulf of Mexico looks like a desert. That's what it looks like. And if it has something down there like the USS Massachusetts, which I wasn't driving. I don't know what happened, but it's down there, right?
It's down there.
And so you're basically walking around in a desert, and you're looking at this huge battleship that's down here. You know, part of it's buried in the sand, and part of it actually sticks out the top. of the water. Man, pay attention when you're in your boat. I never would have thought a battleship would have actually hit the bottom of my boat. But anyway, so you sunk my battleship. Remember that? Anyway,
yeah.
And so here we are. We dive in. You know, Bill is so kind to take us out, you know, in his boat. And we go off and we dive. Remember the current, how strong it was?
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Oh, it took
it took all my air.
It took you a whole tank of gas, a whole tank of air just to get back to the thing,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
The current was just so strong, John. It was just pushing this and pushing this and pushing this. And John, Pat was going to – this is back when Pat was, you know – you know, Mr. Hercules. Now he and I both we would float.
Yeah. I'd just let it take me.
Yeah, back then he couldn't float. Now he can float. You know what that means, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah. You couldn't drown me if you tried. I just popped back up.
Yeah, yeah.
And so Pat's just like burning. He's got his respirator on, or his respirator?
Yeah, respirator.
Okay. Yeah, it's a breathing apparatus. And he's like paddling, he's sucking air, trying to get back to the boat, and the whole Gulf of Mexico is pushing him out.
A regulator.
Regulator.
Respirator is when you're...
He's getting a little bit older. And so, of course, Bill's just sitting there watching.
Yeah. Trying not to puke.
Yeah. Yeah. He was so seasick. He got...
Was Bill diving?
No. He was just standing there.
You know.
Oh yeah, the wind was blowing that hair, and so the anyway, so we go out there, and it's pushing on me, and I just let go. I said, "Dude, pick me up in Mexico. I'm going with the current." And it did. It just shot me way out there. You know, I was out there with Jonah's well and stuff. You know, it was a great opportunity. Come swallow me now. And of course, Bill was kind to come pick us up. Yeah, but we were diving, so we're walking around this desert. It actually is surrounded by water, basically. You had this big battleship. It had some coral on it, and some coral was missing. I can't say why it was missing, but anyway. So we'll move on past
Eagle? That. Is it? Oh my God!
No comment.
I would say this is before he was discipled. and so. It just dawned on me because there was other people up there with Bill in the boat as we were walking around this desert bottom with the ship who were fishing. Okay. So we're swimming around this baited hooks. These baited hooks are all around us and we can see their boats up there and their fishing poles sticking out and these lines are coming down and they got a big piece of meat hanging on the end of it. And we're swimming all around. I'm thinking, I don't believe this is intelligent.
No.
And anyway, we had a great time, and Bill was just a trooper, you know. And the secret that we found out is that if you're starting to feel a little woozy, Bill taught us this: look at the horizon. Yeah. So when we came out of the water, you couldn't get his eyes off the horizon, could you?
Nope.
Unfortunately, it does not work at night.
Yeah, I'm just so glad that he didn't do what he felt like he was going to do because we were in the water.
Yeah. Thank you.
That was wonderful. So if you ever get a chance to dive in the Emerald Coast, you've got to do it. It's pretty cool. We have the Oriskany, the USS Oriskany, mm-hmm. which, you know, I saw the Oriskany parked, you know, at the end of the pier, mm-hmm. you know, and they had it all scraped down and it looked like a Scooby-Doo type experience. Remember that cartoon? It was a spooky looking boat, right? Just looking at it out of the water. I mean, it just looked scary. It was dark. It was rusted. They ripped everything off of it. It's just huge. I don't know what it was. I mean, Tracy could tell you what it was because she did a whole story on it. And then they sunk it. They went out there and they sunk it.
I think it was an aircraft carrier.
Was it aircraft? Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was a big one.
It was big. And so you can actually, John, we've got to do this. We can dive down to the bottom of the Gulf of Mexico. This thing's big. I mean, you got to go. You're at 80 feet or something when you just get to the top of the boat.
Yeah.
And it's this aircraft carrier. So you're looking at, you know, you have to go to 125, 150 feet possibly to get to the inside of it. And then you could swim around through all the crevices where your tank can get stuck. John, we got to do this, man.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, can I watch?
You know, Eddie, you told me Eddie was looking for other opportunities other than jumping outside. Eddie, this one's for you. Come on down. We'll go diving, Eddie. That would be totally, totally good. Well, you know, this is exciting to have us all on the air today, and we're able to, you know, talk about, you know, all the things that are taking place or what we can actually squeeze in. But today is the day they rule on the healthcare law, right?
Yes, yes, this is true. I think they're expecting by 11 o'clock Eastern time, they're expecting to have a ruling, the Supreme Court is, on whether this is going to be upheld, which with so many things going back and forth, we just really don't even know right now. The pundits are actually kind of shocked right now.
Shocked? Come on.
I know.
They know everything, right?
Absolutely.
What does pundit mean? Paycheck to take up time? Anyway, so, I mean, think about it. It's like, didn't you just say last week up and this week you're saying down?
Yeah, right.
You know what I'm saying? People bought stock off that stuff. What are you doing? Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm going to encourage you, if you haven't yet, go on and see the VFN TV blog. It has highlights on it. It has things that we're talking about in VFN radio. And you can get to it by going to VFNTV.com, VFNTV.com. And it has, you know, we always want to look at the news. We look at, try to look at, you know, the news as it is. But we also try to find out, you know, what is God's perspective of this? We can't just buy into what people are saying. We got to find out, you know, what's God's perspective, because you might find out, believe it or not, men's perspective is not God's perspective. Can you believe that? That was John shaking his head, yes. Yeah, you can believe it. Well, I'll tell you this, that there is a different perspective. God cares about the sick. So you need to go find on the VFN TV blog before we just jump on the bandwagon and going, yeah, yeah, no health care. Yeah, yeah, we got health care. And just, you know, explore, you know, what, begin to think about what is God's perspective. And it's called Health Care Law, God's Perspective. And it's just Pat and I talking about it. And it's got a little link there that you can listen to the actual broadcast that happened that day. And, you know, be open to possibly needing to adjust a little bit. You know, God is into taking care of the sick. And what you'll find out in that is that on Judgment Day, we will be judged and we'll actually be separated. John, we'll be separated based on whether we took care of the sick or not.
Right.
When I was sick, you took care of me. Yeah, you visited me, took care of me. And so, and the ones that didn't were considered goats. Jesus is saying this, right? Is this not Jesus saying this?
That's right.
This is
so,
Jesus.
So forget about what men are saying. This is what Jesus is saying. And he didn't say nothing unless he heard the Father say it, right?
That's right.
That's right.
And he said, but, you know, the ones that were taking care of people, that they didn't even know that it was Jesus. You know what I'm saying? And they, and he said, you took care of me when I was sick. And so they said, when did we do this? Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. And so we can't just jump on the bandwagon. And it talks about that if only 4% of the church, according to George Barna, the people that profess to be believers in Jesus Christ, are even honoring God, and not robbing from him, by the way, in tithes and offerings, how in the world can the church even do that? You know, how can we would be much more effective in taking care of the sick, like the Methodist hospitals and the Catholic hospitals, Catholic social services, and different hospitals that are out there in the name of the Lord. That so, you know, it gives you this perspective that if, you know, God cares so much about the sick and the poor, if his people won't take care of them, if we won't voluntarily give our money up and give him his tithes and offerings so that things could be met and give offerings, then he'll tax us and take it from us. You know, so we can't be marching in the street pointing at the world and say, get your act together, when we ourselves are walking in rebellion and robbing God. So you got to get perspective so that you don't walk yourself into a trap. Because God, listen to this, Pat, think about it. God is watching us. Yeah. This is a new concept to today's church. The eyes of the Lord go to and fro. He's watching everything we do, which means this: if you sin, repent. You know, he already knows about it. You're not breaking news to him. Just let him know, I'm sorry. And he's quick to forgive. But then think about it before you do something, that he's watching you. Mm-hmm. And if you love him, you're not going to want to hurt him. You're not going to want to disappoint him.
Right.
And therefore, we want to do things his way. So I encourage you, if you have not yet done that, The ruling just came out from the... the Supreme Court. Let me check it out here, what it says, so you can hear it. This is breaking news on VFN radio. The Supreme Court has upheld the individual mandate. The Supreme Court has upheld the individual mandate.
Wow.
Which is mandated health care. We will get more analysis on that in the future. But realize, just as I said, if you go back and listen to what God's perspective is on that, that if we're not going to take care of the poor, if we're just going to say, take care of yourself, and, you know, and you're going to have to, you know, we're not doing anything about it. You know, we're not intricately involved. If we're robbing from God while we're saying that, it's not going to end up well. I mean, God's going to do what he needs to do to take care of the people he loves, which is the human race.
Right.
Wow, that's amazing. Totally amazing. Caught me off guard for a moment. The, also, I don't know if you know about this. Did y'all know that just recently in Dearborn, Michigan, which, by the way, is in America for people that don't know about Dearborn, the Christians were stoned. They stoned Christians, about 8 to 10 Christians. They were walking through like a carnival. And they had these signs that were saying that Jesus is the only way to God. And they weren't saying anything. They were just carrying these signs that said that, you know, and I can't tell you exactly what. As a matter of fact, if we can make the video digestible, you know, for VFN TV blog, we'll do a little beep,
bad, huh?
Beep. Well, you know, I mean, they're just these, they just attack these Christians for holding these signs. And predominantly Muslims that are stoning Christians in America. I mean, it busted his jaw. He busted his head wide open. They busted his head with a, I mean, they threw bottles, they threw milk crates, they threw, and this is the big thing.
This is in America.
This is the big thing. Listen, you're right. And listen to this. And the police officers, the sheriff's deputy stood right there and watched it take place. They watched this happen. Instead of protecting these as citizens who were being mobbed, they walked up and they asked these Christians, they said, you know, it appears that you're causing problems here. You need to be able to help the matter out. You're going to need to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, he goes, and we'll make this available to you. It's going to have to be a little, you know, repairs on there. Just anyway, do some repairs on there. Beeps. But, you know, we were in VFN radio. You'll find out we talk about reality. I mean, it's a little ridiculous. You know, the religious spirit is you can act like blank, but you can't say blank. You know, we are not into that. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's better to act right. Anyway, so they were stoning them. The police officers were watching them and shouting, you know, Ali Akbar, and they were saying, watch your borders. And this is Dearborn, Michigan. They were throwing things at them. And the police officers did nothing. And then they asked them, they escorted them away and said, you need to go. You need to leave.
The Christians.
And so the Christians said, well, have we violated any law? And he said, no. And he said, well, why don't you just protect us? Isn't that your job to protect us? And they said, we don't have enough officers to protect you. And coming from a law enforcement perspective, that can make sense. You know what I'm saying? But what the second part of that is, being the second extra hour, the second part of that is then you go arrest everybody that actually committed battery and assault on these people.
Right.
I mean, you would definitely, you can escort people out. That makes sense. You know, coming from former law enforcement, you know, we've got to resolve this conflict here. And so you bring these American citizens away from that as they're bleeding. They're literally, his head's busted open, you know, and we have a video of this.
Wow.
And they're saying nothing. They're just carrying signs. Mm-hmm. And then you go back, and because they got their video. By the way, the Christians had a television camera, so they videoed every bit of it. So you have every suspect on video.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go back, and you put every single one of them in jail.
Right.
And
the Christians are saying, well, it's battery, it's assault, it's aggravated battery. It's called aggravated battery when you actually even do that, which is a felony. And it's a riot. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just immediate. They should have went immediately and sweep everybody up. But then they totally did not fulfill the law. But a few moments later, you know, days later, whatever, our president goes into Dearborn, Michigan. And he goes to speak to the leaders there, and he names all these sheriffs and mayors and all of them by name. And he knows them really well, and nothing was said about it.
Mm.
But yet something was said about the professor that was arrested on his doorstep by a police officer. You remember that? The professor?
Oh, yeah. From Harvard, yeah.
It's like, church, we're going to have to wake up. You know, it was one moment, you know, God's people were owning these banks and all these things were going on and, you know, got the Jewish people. And then the next day they were being marched down the street with manure being thrown at them going to the ghettos. Mm. You know, I mean, that was a shocker for them.
Right.
And we have to wake up. Realize that if you love God and if you are a self-professed believer and you acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Lord, you are not a friend of evil. Evil hates you. Satan hates you. Mm-hmm. People who don't love Jesus don't love you, and you can't act like they do. You can't negotiate with evil. But Christians were stoned in America, and did you even hear about it?
No.
John, did you hear about it?
No, not anywhere.
Isn't that amazing?
Any newscast.
Well, you've heard it here on VFN Radio, and we're going to make that available on the VFN TV blog. We're going to cover, you know, we ended yesterday with part one of a conversation of, you know, Mormonism in the extra hour. Join us in the extra hour today because you're going to play the rest of that conversation about Mormonism. We need to know. You're going to be really, really surprised. And not only that if for all of our VFN TV subscribers, which you subscribe for free at VFNTV.com, that you have a broadcast available to you specifically about, you know, Christianity, Mormonism, and the details. I mean, intricate details. You know, of enough to be able to show you that you can make a clear decision to understand that, you know, I might be able to stand with you as an American, but I got to tell you right up front, you know, your viewpoint of Jesus ain't right.
Because
Paul said, if anybody preaches to you another Jesus, every Jesus that people are talking about is not the same Jesus. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about?
That's right.
Right.
Well, we'll be right back in just a moment. There is nothing, I meant nothing, Pat, worse than man's religion, you know, man's attempt to work his way to God.
Right.
You know, I'm just trying to get right in my own works and stuff. And there's nothing more enjoyable than a relationship with Jesus Christ.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Okay. And that he's called us to walk in intimacy with him. I mean, the statement, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, is not just some pat answer to let somebody know that you're saved. The question is, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you guys chat? Do y'all talk? Mm-hmm. I mean, do you hear him? Do you know his voice? And that, you know, and you may be listening right now and thinking, I didn't know you could do that. I just listened to my preacher talk, or I just listened to my pastor speak, or I listened to teachers, or I read other people who heard from God, which is, you know, that's cool. But God loves you and wants to talk to you.
Right.
You know, and people want this, but sometimes they just need a simple plan to do it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And you can find that plan. We have a plan for you that can begin you on a simple abiding plan. Because he says in John 15, apart from abiding with me, Jesus says this, you can do nothing.
Right.
And if you want to get freedom in your life, you want to begin to do something, you know what I'm saying? And watch what God's able to do. Begin from the point of success, which is abiding with him. You can go right now to iabide.org, just like the iPhone, iabide.org. Read a little bit about it. If you like it, go ahead and write there, request an abiding plan. Immediately, you'll be given an abiding plan. It has a video, has how to do it, some simple little steps to do it. And it's not as complicated as religion made it out to be. Listen, God wants to talk with you. Mm-hmm. You can write your own devotional. Listen. Just try it for 6 weeks. Just say, you know, for 6 weeks, I'm going to begin. Because they say it takes about 40 days to build a habit. Mm-hmm. You know, take 6 weeks out of your life and say, you know, for the next 6 weeks, I'm going to abide daily at a certain time, at a certain place. And it has all this kind of tell you how to do it. And just watch what happens and see how your life begins. Watch how God begins to speak to you. Mm-hmm. You can find this at iabide.org. Request your free plan today at iabide.org. It is so cool when you're reading the Bible, isn't it, Pat? When you find out when finally your life, your Christian walk lines up with what you're actually reading in your Christian Bible, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's so cool that when you actually have a source you can go to now, because it fits your life and your life fits the word. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, if you've been reading the Word of God and you've been reading as a history book, or
you've been, somebody's told you that there's not any more miracles anymore. Somebody's, you know, told you that that doesn't apply anymore. And they've replaced the word of God with their traditions. Mm. Let me tell you something. You know, let every man be a liar and God be the truth. His word is living and active and sharper than a double-edged sword. God has not changed. Men change.
That's right.
God hasn't changed. You know, if that's you, if you are presently not connected or related to a body of believers, or if you are at a place that you're, it just seems dead. It just seems dead. It's like your prayers hit the ceiling. Any conversations about going deeper in God, people don't know what you're talking about. When you're talking about, let's go do what the Bible says, and they say, no, let's just go see a movie instead. I mean, things like that. If that's where you, listen, you know, maybe Vine Fellowship Network's for you. Mm-hmm. You know, and the thing about it is you have to understand that, that when you step out of, I remember one particular person said this. Mm-hmm. They said, when I stepped out of tradition, men's tradition,
right,
and I stepped to Deviathan, it was like stepping right into the book of Acts chapter 4.
Right.
Remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
Listen, but you have to understand, this is not something you stick your toes in. When you want to follow God, you don't put a toe in it and find out what temperature it is. Mm-hmm. You know, this is, you know, walking with God. There's so many different men and women that are walking with the Lord that are in tune with what's going on. You know, George Barna writes in his book that people are leaving the traditional church not because they want to get away from God. It's because they're wanting to maintain their walk with God. Mm-hmm. Right. Think about it. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
But hey, I mean, you got to do what you got to do to stay close to God, because you stand alone before God. Mm-hmm. You stand alone before God. No witnesses and no suspects.
That's
you
right.
are there all by yourself. So you are accountable for you. And I want to encourage you, if that's you, if you're ready to dive into the things of God, to dive into the deep, and you're ready to say, I just want to believe God. I want the word to be alive and living and active in my life. I no longer want it nullified, but I want it to be living and active in my life. Maybe VFN's for you. VFN stands for Vine Fellowship Network, a network of abiding churches who are rightly related, seeking to love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. Go to vfnfamily.org, vfnfamily.org. Pat, there is so much more. Yeah. You know, we have so many things that are out there for all of our listeners and all of our viewers in VFN Radio and VFN TV. But we even have more available for them, mm-hmm. you know, and what it is, you're able to, when you subscribe for free, mm-hmm. you go to VFNTV.com, right? VFNTV.com, and just click on subscribe, follow a few simple steps, mm-hmm. and you're able to log in to some information and teachings and discussions and things. It's just everything's available to you as a subscriber. It's just simple to do. Just go to VFNTV.com. VFNTV.com, click on subscribe, follow the simple steps, and you will have access to everything available that's here today and all that's even coming tomorrow. We look forward to seeing you as a subscriber. You're listening to VFN Radio. I'm Greg Lancaster, and joining me today is John Ramos and Pat Hamilton. Oh, my goodness. We got the details on the ruling on the Supreme Court. This is what they basically ruled on. Get ready. Oh, my goodness. You know, when you prophesy things, you're deep in your heart, you're going like, I really hope.
I hope.
I hope. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, things can change. You know, you can prophesy and people can respond. But, you know, the Supreme Court upholds the health care law. They're basically saying this, that the individual mandate that requires that most Americans requires, this is, you know, you're struggling to put gas in your tank, right? But this is going to require you to buy health insurance or pay a fine.
Oh, my goodness.
How'd you get that ticket? Were you speeding? No, I was starving. And they told me I had to buy health insurance.
Wow.
And he says, and they made this ruling that it's constitutional as a tax. Listen. You got to understand this. You know, and I said this some time back, and people were like, well, you know, I'm watching my reality shows. I don't really have time, and my air conditioner's blowing on me, and I'm just a comfortable, spoiled American Christian. That he hired, you know, the stimulus money
Oh my goodness. You got to go to VFN TV and you got to hear SOS. You got to hear that message. The message is, you know, is it going to be Samuel or Saul? And it's a battle between God's form of government or man's form of government. And the church cried out, and they're still crying out. They're saying that men are the answer. They're saying the government's got, man's government's the answer, not God's government.
Right.
And until we turn to God, let me tell you what he did with the stimulus money. Well, some of the things I know. He hired 16,000 IRS agents.
Wow.
16,000. I mean, there's only 50 states. I mean, come on, you know?
Mm. Right.
And now this healthcare mandate, this healthcare mandate is a tax. I mean, can you put two and two together? Mm. 16,000 people on top of what was already there in the IRS are now going to go, and they're going to exercise and collect the funds available to be able to provide healthcare for those in need, which I'm totally for taking care of people. I mean, totally. Remember what I said just a few moments before this ruling came out was, you know, the church is not honoring God. They're robbing from God, you know. And not only that, with the 4%, John, according to George Bana, that the traditional church is paying $1.3 million per baptized believer. You know, that's crazy. Go dunk them in the river and help somebody with that. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Tell me about it.
And it's like God is, because we didn't do it right. As a matter of fact, that's today's, you know, wisdom moment. We're going to talk about that. Oh, this is just timely. Oh, this is perfect. You know, we're going to talk about wisdom moment, but because we didn't do it, because we chose not to do it by choice, now God's going to do it by force.
Wow.
Isn't that interesting?
How about that?
Because it's not like God's saying, hey, you know, if you don't mind, if you don't, you know, he's going, no, I care about the sick. I care about the homeless. I care about those that you're not caring about. He that lends to the poor lends to God. Are you lending to God, right? Mm. And so here we are. It's just perfect timing right on top of that. Today's wisdom moment, we're coming from Proverbs 28:2. Proverbs 28:2. And understand that 16,000 IRS agents have been sitting there waiting for this mandate to be approved so they can go exercise it, because they'll be the new insurance agents. They'll be going, collecting the premiums to be able to pay for health care.
Mm-hmm.
But can the church really say anything?
Right. Yeah.
You know, they're behind right now a Mormon candidate who believes that he will eventually be God, a God. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, go find out. You can find that. We're going to talk about it today.
Yeah.
We are in trouble.
We're in trouble. And the Christians are sitting side by side, and big leaders are saying, you know, this is my Christian brother. And it's like, if anybody preaches you to other Jesus, I mean, you're going to find out probably on the VFN TV. You're going to have to see the session on VFN TV. It's called Angels of Light.
Mm-hmm.
You know, another Jesus, and it'll be made available.
Right.
But when a baptism pool is sitting on the back of 12 bulls, you know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, there's always a mixture. You ever seen those bumper stickers that has like every God on the back of the bumper sticker?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Coexisting.
Yeah,
right.
Coexisting,
there is
integrated.
No coexisting with the enemy.
Yeah, you know, which is an Ahab, Jezebelic type form government. God's people surrendered over to that. And it's like a mixture of gods. Well, you know, there's no other gods before him, right?
I mean,
there's,
that's right.
And so that doesn't work. And so just because you have Jesus mixed in your cake doesn't mean that's a Jesus cake.
All right.
You know what I'm saying? Anyway, you find out more about that. But today's wisdom moment is this. This is from, you know, it's the 28th of the month. And so we're going to talk about the 28th proverb. And out of the chapter 28, we're going to look at one proverb today. It's Proverbs 28:2. And it reads this. Oh my goodness. You got to see this. Listen to what it reads. Isn't this amazing? I mean, God's just so leading us. It says, When a country is rebellious, it has many IRS agents. When a country is rebellious, it has many rulers. But a man of understanding and knowledge maintains order. I mean, think about that. Think about it. I mean, is it not out of order?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is it in rebellion? You know, the American church. You know, and remember this, Paul said, it's not my place to judge the world. We've got to back up and pull our gavels from slamming them down on the world who said they don't want God. They don't want Jesus.
Yellow.
That's not our place. And if you're listening, you know, I always say this, that, You know, our focus is on the church, which we define as believers, not buildings or organizations. Our focus is on the one who's gone astray, to encourage him or her to come back. And our focus is on the one, and our broadcast is for the one who's being drawn to God. If you don't fit those categories, you know, VFN Radio is not for you. And we're talking directly to those three categories of people. And so with that, you know, here we are. The church is in rebellion to God's way. I mean, it's just, we're going to talk. Hopefully we have time. We're going to talk about, you know, King Xerxes and Vasti, you know, Queen Vasti, and some recent things that have come out, you know, that we know about with our brother and our sister, you know, who recently got married again, are going to get married again. But yet, you know, just getting married doesn't mean you're right.
That's right.
You know, finding somebody of the opposite gender and marrying them does not make you righteous.
That's right.
As a matter of fact, right?
Marriage is not the answer.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's not the answer. But it's neither sin nor not sin. But it definitely could be. Anyway, so American church is in rebellion to God. Rebellion is defined as this, and this is important because somebody says, "I am not rebellious," you know. Mm-hmm. But rebellion is defined as this: resistance to any control or authority. Resistance to any control or authority. Hello, AM radio. No. I mean, think about it. Think about this. It's just like, oh my goodness. You know, we can express ourselves without, you know, being rebellious. You can talk and share your thoughts. You can reason with God without being rebellious. You know, and we've resisted God's way of marriage. We resisted God's way of family. We resisted God's way of finances. We resisted God's way of his church is supposed to be. We just set aside all of his commands for our own traditions. And we really are upset that many rulers are being set over us. Get a clue. God's right. Let every man be a liar and God be the truth. But the thing is this, if Nineveh understood this, who there was a plan set in motion for destruction and they heard about it, you know, we just go, oh, I'm wrong. You know, we got to get that Fonzie clip. We got to have the Fonzie clip. We want to have that on the VFN TV blog because he couldn't say the words, I was wrong. He just said, I was. Yeah, he did. And we got to find that. I want to find that and put that on the VFN TV blog because we got to practice that. God is so loving and so kind and so merciful, you know, and people are too. If you'll look at people and tell them, you know, most people will receive your repentance. You know, most will. And the ones that don't need to repent, because Jesus said, if they ask you to forgive them, you should actually say, I forgive you.
Right.
And if he forgives us, he restores us, you know, and we're in rebellion. The church has been in rebellion to God's way, and we're on a journey trying to get back. VFN Radio. And our whole journey is about, how do you get back to God,
right,
in his ways? I mean, when a Mormon looks more righteous than a Christian, you know what I'm saying? When, you know, a Muslim, you know, acts more right than those who profess to follow Jesus Christ as their Lord. When a Muslim dresses holier than a person who professes to be a follower of Jesus Christ, that says something.
Right.
That actually, believe it or not, American church, that says something.
Right.
It doesn't say they're right. It could say, my goodness, if those who don't know him, you know, there was a day in the 50s, Rick Joyner said this, that people who didn't even know God in the 50s feared him. Mm. They had a fear of God. But today, people who claim to know him don't even fear
him.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that crazy?
It is.
And he is to be feared. I mean, there's a tension between the kindness and the sternness of God. But when you understand his love, it makes sense. So if in fact we're in resisting his ways, right, if the church is resisting his ways, hence, that means, you know, we have a president right now, because God says he directs the king's hearts like rivers, right?
Like a water course.
Like a water course, exactly. And that, you know, we can't blame our discipline on an individual who was chosen to be able to escort us into our discipline. You know what I'm saying? You know, and we do want, you know, godly leadership. I'm not saying that. But so we have a president who, and I just read an article recently. My father gave it to me, and it came from Kansas. I can't forget who it came from. But he talks about that so much bureaucracy, so many bureaucrats, which are leaders, that lead government agencies, has been put into place during these first 3 years with all the stimulus money, that it doesn't really matter that much who the next leader is, because it's going to take a long time to undo all these leaders. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
Imagine trying to undo the driver's license office.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, things that just kind of get ingrained. You know, we talk about Social Security today, but there was a day there wasn't Social Security. And now we just accept it as normal, but there was a big thing that happened during that time that it happened. And so there's so much bureaucracy and bureaucrats that have been laid in place, such as the 16,000 IRS agents, that here we are, you know, with all these leaders over us. And he tells us in the wisdom for today, he tells us very plainly, when a country is rebellious, when they're resisting authority and any control, when a country is rebellious, it has many rulers over it. Mm. I mean, think about it. I mean, you want to let those, you mean, you won't just let everybody just do their thing. But there's some people, it's like, if you let them do their thing, they're going to hurt everybody.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They're going to hurt the people that God loves. They're going to hurt the human race, you know.
Right.
And you can't just let things go wild. And so God will bring a ruler in to begin to rule them because they couldn't rule themselves. Mm. In the church, you know, we should be submitted to Christ. He is the head, you know. And in marriage, if you choose to be married, and this is unique to marriage, not to anything outside of marriage, that a husband is the head of the wife, like Christ is the head of the church. And the wife is to submit to her husband in everything. Mm-hmm. He's to love her, and she's to respect him, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And so, you know, with that, we're understanding that, my goodness, I mean, if that ruffles your feathers, you know, to hear that, and that's how far we've gone. We've had, because that's not my words. Is that your words, Pat?
That's not mine.
No. And so do we really want these rulers? I mean, it may take us, you know, 10 years, a decade to come out of all this bureaucracy.
Right.
But if we look at it from the right perspective, we realize it was because we just resisted God's ways. You know, but the church is the biggest part of the church in the world is in China.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the answer to the church is not American form of government. You know, it's not, you know, we got to get past that. But if you made America your God, if you said, you know, you're fighting more for America than you are for his people and his ways.
That's right.
And you didn't submit all that to God. You know, and just said, you know what, God, if I'm not doing what's right before you, I'm not going to fight for America first. I'm going to fight for myself at the cross and say, I want to get my life right. And then when I'm right,
that's
I'm
right.
going to allow you to work through me to begin to change the human race.
Right.
By preaching your kingdom and advancing your kingdom, let them know how much you love them and how you have a plan for their life and that you'll forgive them as you forgave me. And so, you know, if you don't believe God is in control, and he directs the heart of the president and kings like a water course. If you think that it was man that brought him to this point of leadership, if you think that God doesn't establish authority, if you think God is a liar and his word is not true, such as when a country is rebellious, it has many rulers, then you are probably angry at our president. You direct all your blame towards him and everything that he has done. But if you believe God is in control, if you know the word of God and God's expectations, if you look at the church, marriage, family, business, political leaders, and see how God's ways have been resisted, then you are not shocked that we're having many leaders. You're probably repenting now of your own rebellion, resisting God and his commands, which means you are beginning to walk with him again. You are letting others know the only way out of this is on our knees. The only way out of this is obedience to God. The only way out of this is the cross of Christ, abiding with him. Why? Because you are a man of understanding, like they said, and knowledge. And you know how God says he does things because you know his word. And you understand, since there is much rebellion, it requires many leaders to maintain order. Mm. you know, they talk about this book called Useful Idiots. You have to understand that the enemy's evil, and he will convince you. He will convince you that the enemy will convince you that everything's fine, you know, and he will use you to put you in bondage. He will get you to be a cheerleader for an outcome that he has planned that you will end up in bondage. Listen, God is not about a rivalry. He's not about a free for all. He's not about, you know, just debauchery and all these different things. You know, he is a holy God. And it's time for us. He says, if my people who are called by my name will when I send a plague amongst my people, when I send a storm, when I devise a storm against you, this is God, right?
God devising a plan.
You know, Satan's probably going, you know, he's crying outside right now. He's probably standing over the border somewhere, hopefully. No, he's not. He's actually in the borders, believe me. And he's in therapy right now.
All right.
He's in therapy because he just feels that everything's blamed on him, as if he's in control and God's not in control. Mm-hmm. But the Word of God says that he's God's blacksmith, right? He forges. He's a forged instrument to do what he does.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
All right.
He's evil.
Mm-hmm.
But listen, God's the one that says, when I send plagues, when I send locusts to devour your crops,
mm-hmm.
you know, when I devise a storm against you, and it's like, and the therapy is probably like this. God, it's just not fair. I mean, those people that claim to follow you, they don't ever read your book. They don't ever understand it's you that's doing this. They don't, mm-hmm. they don't understand that I could do nothing unless you allow me, that I could do nothing unless they surrender their authority to me. And, you know, the therapy comes back and says, I bind you, Satan. Don't reason with the devil. But understand that God is more powerful than anything in all creation. And all authority has been given to his son, one and only son, Jesus Christ. That if you bow your knee to him, if you stop rebelling against the Lord, we'll begin a track, a journey back to God. And I covenant with you by God's grace, and if it's in God's will, that we will walk with you. We will walk Amen. With you on this journey. That's why we broadcast daily on VFN Radio. We're going to walk this out together. You know, you got to break free from every tie that binds, including traditional ties and philosophies that keep the Word of God from being effective in your life. You need to pray, and you need to see answered prayer. You need to read the Word of God, and it needs to be applicable in your life. You need to know that it's living, it's active, it's sharper than a double-edged sword. It is not time to play church. It's time to be church. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
So I just want to encourage you today that here we are right now, right on top of this. I mean, the timing of this is amazing.
Amazing.
That today they made a Supreme Court ruling that has a mandate that you have to purchase. Some Americans are going to be purchased to require, so they write in the article, that from the Washington Times. I believe it's the Washington Times. But anyway, that you're Politico, that you're going to be mandated not only to have to buy milk for the kids' cereal, not only to pay your rent or your mortgage, not only to put gas in your car, not only to pay your property taxes, and not only to pay your sales tax, not only to pay your employment tax, but now, church, that we didn't understand that it wasn't right to pay $1.3 million per baptized believer, you know, that we didn't think it was important to be able to make disciples of those who believe, that we preached a gospel that says it doesn't matter what you do as long as you said a prayer, you know, and this deep rebellion has taken place. Now they're going to actually tax us to do what we should have done anyway, because Jesus said, when I was sick, you took care of me.
Mm.
Isn't that something?
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. We'll be right back in a moment. Yo, sigh. Don't forget that you can subscribe as a free subscriber, VFNTV.com. Just go to VFNTV.com, click on subscribe in your menu, and we'll see a few simple steps, and you can subscribe for free for all the content available. And not only that, you'll be notified on a regular basis of upcoming programs and things that are available to you as our loyal subscribers to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program. That's VFN TV.
Jesus.com. You know, Jesus said in John 15, he says, talking of himself, right, Pat? Because I am the vine, talking of himself.
Right.
You, us, believers, are the branches. And his father, our father, is the gardener.
Right.
And the vine just kind of grows where it wants to go. You know, it grows towards the sun. Natural vines grow towards the S-U-N. And spiritual vine and branches grow to the S-O-N.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, that is neat.
And so, you know, for God spoke to me about, as he called us, called me out to be able to begin to do what we're doing today. And it didn't just happen like this. And he said, very specifically, I'm going to teach you something for 3 years that I'm going to use for the next 30 years of my church.
Wow.
You know? And he confirmed that through Dutch Sheets. It was pretty cool how God had done that. Because you think, you know, when God's calling you, this might be you right now. You might be thinking, okay, I got the call. I'm ready to go. Well, you know, many are called, but few are chosen. You have to understand that there's a process of learning and growing that you need to understand. What does that mean? You know, when he said, get thee up and go to Abram, that meant 25 years, right?
Right.
Well, you need to get rightly related. You need to get connected to what God is doing. And we tried. So once the 3 years was up, it was amazing. Just right in time, God just showed up in a powerful way. He just nailed it. It said, it's finished. It's time to do it. It was just really amazing. And we started the 30-year journey. And in that, how could we explain this in a short period of time, you know, a condensed period of time to help people get perspective of what Vine Fellowship Network's about, and it just integrates with the Word of God. It's just doing what God says, you know. And so while Vine, which is Jesus is the vine, fellowship is what the church does, and network, we all stay together and stay rightly related, which is, you know, Psalms 133, you know, and John 17:23. And so what came of that was called, we call it the Vine Seminar, the Vine Seminar, Vine Seminars, which is, there's several different seminars now that's evolved in, but knowing this, that the main seminar that started it was trying to explain how do you move from a flower pot to a vine? How do you move out of the fences and the confinement of men's tradition rightly, not wrongly, and follow God in the Great Commission? And God walked us through a way to do that. And he confirmed it every step of the way. Well, we share that. We share that at the Vine Seminars. You can find out more at vineseminars.org. You can sign up for one in your city. Fill it out. Let them know that you're interested in it. And we'll make it available to you. It's vineseminars.org. Now I want to talk to you just for a quick moment here. You may be at the end of your religious road. You may have done everything religious that you could think of. I mean, you may have sung in choirs. You may have had perfect, quote, church attendance, unquote. You may have got real close to those who are in ministry. You may have done all these things, but yet you're empty. You've found yourself, you know, seeking and running after what you perceive to be right, but you are running after things, and man, and not God. Listen, that's a seek that God's put inside of you. That's a seek that God's put inside of you. He's put that inside of you. And what it is, you were seeking after him in the wrong places. Listen, he is after you. And the fact that you've done that means you're after him. But you just got to get on the right road. You just got to get off the religious road and get on the relationship road. You got to meet God. The whole purpose of Jesus' ministry was to make the Father known. And God loves you. God has a plan for your life, but you've got to meet him. You meet him through his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus made a way for you to be in relationship with the creator of the universe. It's not about religion. It's about relationship. It's about a joyful walk in the Lord. You've got to meet my Father. Go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. You're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and with me in the studios is John Ramos and Pat Hamilton. You know, we're talking about the healthcare mandate has just been upheld.
You can find out more about that, and we're going to talk more about that on the VFN TV blog. You'll find out some details on that. But listen, we got to have God's perspective in this. We have to find out, seek God's perspective in this, so that we just don't jump ahead of our discipline. You know, it's like, what are you doing? God's like, I'm doing this. You know, I'm the one that's bringing this to pass. And if you were somebody that has cancer, if you're somebody who has lost a member of your family because that you didn't have the money to be take care of them, and that different medical decisions were made for your relative or for you because you had money, I mean, come on now. This is good news for them. You know, we all should have pitched in, you know, as the church. You know, we should have done that. But the church is not even doing that with itself. You know, 96% of the church is not doing it. And so now it's going to be taxed from us, you know, and I think I can really just hear the words of when, you know, Israel was going under bondage, that, you know, he just said, just go ahead and do this, you know, just go ahead. And I think that based on our present condition of the church, the least of our concerns should be whether or not we should help somebody, you know, be taken care of that's sick because of political values and that type of thing. Right now, since it's not they're not being taken care of by the present day church,
right?
You know, then I think it's good they're being taken care of. You know, whether we can afford the tax, I don't know, but we want to be on God's side on that. We want people taken care of, and if the church was like had hospitals all over the place, you know, if all these things were going on and we were, you know, up to around 80% obedience in the area of God's tithes and offerings, you know, we would actually be making the decisions. Now, one of the specific reasons why the Mormon church is so powerful, one thing that they do, the Mormon organization do, is they focus on mandate. They have a mandate inside their organization that says, if you want to make it to celestial heaven, you know, you're going to have to give 10%. And of course, it's willful obedience
from the heart.
From the heart and all, but that's what they do. So therefore they have, you know, billions of dollars in reserves. And so those are like golden cows. I don't know if they're golden cows. Anyway, so, you know, we're coming to an end. I cannot believe it. But I think about this real quick. Do you remember the time that we were, you know, taking all these mentors and the fatherless and whatever out to the wilderness, and we were raising money? You remember that? I don't know if we have time to talk about this. We might not have time to talk about it. And one of us came up with came up with an idea that said, you know, we need to have a raffle. We need to have a raffle. And, you know, we'll raffle off something that, you know, something that Americans might like, a TV.
Wasn't that John's idea?
Oh, that's right. That's right. It was John's. I'm sure it was John's. Mute his mic. It was John's.
Yeah.
And I said, but listen, if we're going to do this, John, I said, if we're going to do this, this is a raffle. It is not a lottery. You know, it is not a lottery. And I said over and over, this is not a lottery. We're just going to, you know, a dollar for a ticket or whatever. You get a chance to win a big screen TV or something like that we had. And in that, here we were on TV. We were on TV. And I sat there and they said, well, tell us what's going on. And I said, well, we're having a lottery. I mean, God had me eat so much crow. A lottery. I said, we're having a lottery. That is so funny, you know, that, you know, you can, you know, it was just.
How many shades of color did you turn?
I was dumbfounded, you know, and obviously God was dealing with me about, you know, it's a shame that you have to go to a raffle to do what the church should have done all along. Remember that? Because we were paying for our entire community to come to God in the concept of going into the wilderness and responding to the prophetic word. But that was hilarious. I'm like, this is not a lottery. And here I was on TV. What did I say? We're doing a lottery. We're coming to the end of the first hour. Join us in the extra hour today. We're going to be talking about Mormonism. We're going to be talking about Benny and Suzanne Hinn's marriage and so much more. Join us. God bless.